Good morning, dear listeners. Good morning, wherever you are finding yourself. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And I think now is the right time to thank Matthias Angala. And yeah, we are diving into Early Morning Scoop. And I know some of you are already awake. Some of you are on your way to work. Some of you are jogging, and also some of you are still sleeping. Yeah, but it's a very beautiful morning. It's a very beautiful morning. It's the 1st of July 2025, and the time is 4 minutes past 6 in the morning, and we are moving into Early Morning Scoop, as it has always been the case. And yeah, for those of you who have already started with work, it's also a time for a reflection. What have been happening the past 6 months? What have you done? Are you closer to your goal? Are you still pushing? Or are there still, you know, obstacles on the way? It's always very good, especially those who believe in meditation. When you wake up, put your thoughts together, and also looking at those goals. How are you going to tick those boxes? And yeah, it's very interesting also to understand the basic, you know, life philosophy. That, you know, whatever we do, particularly at politics, economics, and also social matters, life is not always a straight line. And there are always, you know, bumpy roads ahead, as it was indicated by, you know, one of the Chinese, you know, thinkers and the greatest strategist by the name Sun Tzu, indicated that life on its own is war. And it depends on how you pick your battles, because in one war you can fight 20 battles, but it depends on how you pick your battle. So this is the morning hours, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop. We are here until the hour of 7:30. Yes, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, Early Morning Scoop is a program that look at discussion on current affairs, discussion on economic matters, discussion on political decisions, and also discussion looking at critical institution analysis. We analyze institutions of governance. We analyze, you know, corporations. We analyze state operations and its mechanism. We look at the strength, weakness, and also how we can strengthen, you know, the state, and also to contribute indeed, like we are always saying, to contribute positively to the advancement of our country. Because whatever discussion that we are bringing about, whatever conversation that we are bringing about, we always making sure that those conversations are linked to national developmental agenda. Those conversations are linked to where we want our country to be. And it's always very important to make sure that our dear listeners communicate with us, as you always do. It's always very important to making sure that, you know, after every conversation that we bring about, we open up the line so that, you know, we can allow our dear listeners to call us, and also give their constructive criticism. You can give your opinion, you can give your views about a certain, you know, topic being discussed. I do not want to say you can argue, but it's your democratic right to have a different opinion and, pass, you know, your points across without, you know, disrespecting one another. And yeah, this is also a platform where we look at, you know, financial institution analysis. That's why today we are also going to touch in those sectors. We are also looking at, you know, what is happening in the Namibian economy, what is the bank saying, how is our GDP, and also what are some of the major challenges that that we are facing. So before we go to what is on the table today, sorry, it's very important to making sure that, you know, you connect with us in all our social media platform, Eagle FM Namibia. You can connect with us on Facebook, connect with us on X, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Like and share our page. On top of that, we also have our e-paper. That is, of course, the Villager newspaper. It's a newspaper which is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. if you are a student of politics, student of economics, student of law, student of business, entrepreneurship, or any relevant field that is contributing to development of the country. It can be engineering, because development on its own is cutting across. The Villager newspaper is your go-to-go e-paper, and when you download it, you'll be able to access those qualitative and quantitative information about economics and national and international development. On top of that, you can also download our app, that is Eagle FM app. There are always those who are asking, say, no, Eagle FM Namibia, we are not communicating. I mean, we are not connected with you. And the frequency is, it's playing, it's moving up and down here. But we have a best solution for you. That is by making sure that you download the Eagle FM app. When you download the Eagle FM app, its operational mechanism is the same as, you download WhatsApp. But this one is it's a very good app to use, because when you open it, automatically, you will be able to listen to the programs which are on air. On top of that, you can also, access, previous shows, previous programs, talk shows, that you can access through podcasts. We made it very, easy for you, that we have an open archive that you can go listen and, recheck again information that you are looking for. And the other one is Imba app. It's the best way, simplification of using, a Hangano book or hymn book, especially, morning time, those who wake up and, you have to sing, and also look at your direction in terms of your beliefs and also thinking. And when you want to use a hymn book and you do not have a hard copy, don't scratch your head, because the world has moved fast, and there are always better ways and better mechanisms that you can use. And one of that is download Imba app. When you download Imba app, you can have access to your hymn book, either is in Oshuambo, Ehangano, Chierero, Maimborido. We'll talk about Afrikaans, talk about Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages that you can access to. So in this regard, let's go to a commercial break, then we can look at what do we really have on the table for today. What are some of the economic discussions that we have? And stay tuned.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the R.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ripura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete okoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to dae njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doye nawa nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamoili nawa Ninge fata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onore tatu imwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile ko berewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, welcome back to Early Morning Scoop. Welcome back to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are here until the hour of 7:30. And as it has always been the case, today we are discussing business and economic matters. However, based on progress and also based on what we have seen, we are going to look at, analyzing the first 6 months of, 2025. And we are also going to look at Namibia beyond 100 days of new administration. What have been some of the, events which have happened? What are some of, key events which have happened? We are also looking at what have been done and also looking at weakness and how we can, learn from there, because it's always very important to make a critical self-assessment, even to you as a person, and making a critical assessment to the state. And looking at the events which have happened, it could be, event at an international front that at some point we do not have control over. But we also look at events which have happened domestically and how they impact our issues of bread and butter. And it's always very interesting to do an assessment, because an assessment is one thing in life that allow you to see where you are standing. How is a Namibian ship under Memene Tumbo is being, sailed, and how is it moving? Is it moving? Is it stable? Does it has, does it have some holes? Where can we fix? Because she is the captain of the ship, and we need to look at, how things have been, going in the past, 6 months. And what is also very interesting is looking at what have been promised, because the first six months of the year, although she has been in power less than that, we are also going to touch on the first 100 days in the office, what have been done, what are some of the challenges, and after that we are going to compare our economic game plan. Does Namibia have an economic game plan? What game plan do we have? Or we are just following the flow? And apart from that, we are also going to look at Bank of Namibia. We are going to look at Bank of Namibia and how it has positioned itself, particularly looking at this complex, unpredictable world in terms of financial system and the way forward. Now, last year, we made news, locally and internationally, first democratic elections to elect a woman president. And, we dive into a year. There's some, events which have happened. Particularly regarding the global affairs. You look at the trade war or imposition of tariffs. How did they impact us? The US hegemony in terms of the economy. We look at the Trump administration pulling out some, aids, to Africa. And when we have seen how these things have, impacted the lives of Namibian, then what is very interesting is also that some of these events which happen at an international level, we do not have control over, but they have affected our people. They have affected our people, and indeed, some of the individuals, they have lost their job, and also the income. So, now, let us look at domestically. What have happened is that when our new president got into power, the first bold move that she has made is that to make sure that all the old guards, they are either going home, and she appointed technocrats to positions. And the simple definition of a technocrat is an individual with a certain expertise. And this individual end up, you know, running government based on their technical skills that they have or their abilities to do things, not a mere politician, because a technocrat is an individual who qualified at that position. That's why when you look at those key strategic ministries that, you know, people are placed, majority or if not all, they studied or have experienced in that field, and that was the first bold move that Mnetumbo has made. And the other thing also, the other thing that we need to look at, we also need to look at the pronunciation, because political communication matters in Namibia and in the entire world, because political communication is, you know, expressing the vision of a leader who is directing that institutions. And some of the quoted things that we have seen is we are too few to be poor. The resources of Namibia depends on the Namibian people. And the other one is also that this is not going to be business as usual. It's not going to be business as usual. You are either in. And those are some of the political communication that we have seen that are directed and also are guided by the new administration. Now, what is very interesting is that also, when these, events are happening, when these, events are happening, it's also very important to look at, some challenges, controversies, and also people unhappiness, because I'll be lying to you if I'm just giving you all the praises. If I'm just giving you the praises, and I'm not on your side when I'm doing that. But let us look at some key, you know, things that came a bit with some controversy and how we can work from there. Then we are also going to look at these things to say, are the questions and also the need of the people at the center of the new administration. We have to be very honest with that. And we are going to do that by comparing the problems that we are facing, not only as young people, as a country at large. Then we are also going to look at priorities. And do we have a clear goal, well-defined goal, on how we are going to fight, for example, poverty, and also how we are going to fight this monster of unemployment. Now, controversy, appointment of a Minister of Agriculture. People have different views about certain events. Some individuals are saying it's a political game. Some are saying it's what it is, but that in the history of the new administration will not go away. And you are asking, where is the vetting process? What have happened? Is this man innocent? Was this man played by political fools? Or is what it is? Then you have controversy also around the appointment of the Minister of Health. It's a very smart and brilliant lady. And appointment came through, you know, different means. And people have to, is there a democratic right to complain? It's up to you how to see. Because views matter in a democratic process. And, you know, some analysts, they argue differently. And some indicated that that ministry is too big for a young person. And there's a lot expected from her. And she has received a lot of, you know, a lot of criticism. But at some point, she proved herself. But there's a lot of controversy around that, about the ministry itself. And it's being at the center of human development. And a lot of people thought this ministry could have been, you know, well handled, could have been well handled, and could not be a testing ground, which is an argument of another day. Now, looking at what have happened, and also playing along within those, you know, main 100 days in the office, one would also want to argue to say the concept of integration of Swapo Party Manifesto in national developmental goals is very important. It's very important. And the question also that we need to ask, was that not how it has been? What is the difference? Was that not how it has been? Because a manifesto as a campaigning tool always define priorities and also goals. Now, pronunciation to say is going to be integrated into national developmental agenda, one would be able to ask what have been happening in the past 35 years. Was that not how it was supposed to be? Now, let's come to the main thing. Questions are the questions, promises and needs of people answered. Yes, it's just 100 days in the office, but we have a right to do so, to try and also analyze. Are the questions, are the needs of the people answered? You know, last year when you went to vote, you went to vote because you want something to be addressed. Whoever you voted, it's a democratic process. You went to vote because you want something to be done. And politics exist so that, you know, economy can be done right, so that the needs of the people must be addressed by those who have power of the state, who have to exercise the power of the state on behalf of the state. A lot of young people, they went to vote because they want their issues to be addressed. Number one, what is on the table is unemployment. That is number one, unemployment. The other thing is poverty and food insecurity. We cannot deny that. And also economic inequality. These are some of the main things that a lot of people went to vote to see. Let's see if this thing is going to change, because, you know, for the past 35 years of Namibia existence, if Namibia was Namibia, if we personify Namibia in this regard, to be a 35-year-old male or female who is under 35 according to Namibian definition, if you are 35, you are an adult youth, and you are graduating to your next level. Because when you look at National Youth Council Act 3 of 2009, it is indicating that the young person is from the age of 16 and 35, and beyond that, you are on the other level. Now, Namibia, personifying Namibia, since no more a youth, if it was somebody who is already married or have kids. But yeah, put it in that way, is our questions, or are the questions that we ask, are the needs, the cries of the people answered? Do we have a clear direction of where we are going, or we still have to wait? Do we have a clear plan on how young people should be, you know, integrated into the mainstream economy? Do you have a clear plan on taking people from the street, like the graduates? Do you have a clear plan on that? And as a Namibian citizen, I also have questions to say, how is the game plan on addressing youth unemployment? Because it's a crisis. It's not something which we should shy away from. It's a crisis. And for us who travel, we have seen what young people are going through. And it's a crisis. Then the question is the new administration have a clear plan? Yes, you can talk about internship. Yes, internship were proposed. Are they operational? But there must be a very clear plan. There must be a very clear plan on industries and recruitment or give opportunities to these young people who are in the street. Because having, for example, 15,000 educated graduates in the street. It's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. Now, you have a problem, then there's an introduction of free education, which is introduced. Now what we are asking is that, is a new administration have a very clear plan on that? Because that is number one. That is number one. It's number one because young people are the majority of the population, and they are not accommodated in the mainstream economy. And you cannot blame, and there is nothing which make me angry than blaming a young person for being unemployed. Some are struggling, yes, we are doing. But what is the game plan? That is one thing that we need to look at. The other thing is food security. You know, even though a lot of pronunciation have been said about food security and agriculture, little is done in terms of allocation of clear land and also, establishment of agricultural institutions that can, assist in the production of food. And that is also one thing that we need to look at. And the other thing also is the economic game plan. You know, it's very important to have an economic philosophy as also a political philosophy. However, what matters in this complex world, you don't really need to define yourself as a Marxist or you are a capitalist. You need to work based on time. What system is best for us? Do we have an economic game plan on guarding our financial stability? Do we have economic game plan? Those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. Because for us to have Namibia as a state operational fully, we must have an economic game plan. We ask those who are in the administration of Mimene Tumbo to say, what is our economic game plan? And that in that case, you can talk about financial stability. You can talk about a turnaround strategy on reducing our national debt. You can also talk about real issues, which a lot of people think they are not important, but these are real issues which are defining us, like issues of grey listing, issues of a central bank losing a case, while we are in the middle of addressing, issues of grey listing. And that is a big thing. That is a big thing. And how are we going to do that? What is our economic game plan? And what is that we are going to do differently? Because don't be surprised if we are not criticizing, if you are not having constructive criticism, we will never get this country right. If we are playing on emotions, we will never get this country right. So that's why as an ordinary Namibian, as a professional, it's always very important to make sure that, we ask these questions. We ask those who are in charge to say, where are you driving this country? Are you driving at an understandable pace or you need some assistance? If you need some assistance, what assistance do you need? You know, before we go to a commercial break, then we also listen to the guest. You know, in South Africa, there is this thing of national dialogue, the proposal of national dialogue costing around 700 million rands. And you are just asking yourself, what is going on? Because in an African context, politicians, they attend events. They are more, not really to say they regard citizen as political capital. That would be a waste of doing it. But coming to people and asking about their problems where you already know their problem for the past 20 years is something which is not right. Apparently they need a national dialogue. They need a national dialogue where they, they need to discuss about some of the critical issues. And you are just asking yourself to say, no, what is going on? So, as you are going to work today, wherever you are finding yourself when you are going to complete your business, ask yourself these questions to say, what is my contribution to the direction of this country? Wherever you do, where you are and whatever you do, because directing priority areas within the country is very important. You don't need to have power, but ask yourself this, what can I do to make sure that I contribute to this you know, development of this country. So it's always very important to look at that, because when we are analyzing, when you are putting Namibia at the scale, when you are analyzing the past 6 months, when you are analyzing that, because we are already in July, when you are analyzing from January, how have we been doing economically, politically, and socially? Ask yourself this question. Ask yourself this question before we go to commercial break and the guest. Because the functionality of the state depends on who is in charge, and also depends on people around the leader. Talk about the issues of kidnapping and killing of young children. Up to now, nobody is arrested. Nobody is arrested. People, we are still drinking with those murderers. We are still drinking them with them in sport bars. We are going with them to the gym, and all those things. Because Namibians, we are very fast at forgetting. And I love the fact that when that thing have happened, the government reacted, and the president indicated that Okahanja is under the control of the police until further notice. It was a bold move, and I was very happy with that. And I thought all the law enforcement agencies will be directed there. But what is happening now? What have happened when we are losing the young kids, young children, innocent? What is the law enforcement doing? What is it saying about the administration? Because those are things that we need to ask ourselves. Ask those critical questions. Because that's the only way that we are going to advance. Ask issues like, in the past 6 months, there have been a case of Namdia. Where are we standing? Who is involved? And what is this saying about our state? Because if you're only saying, no, the things are going to be well and well, look at the collapse of state institutions. When you look at that, then you also, because I'm not saying we should not praise. We should not praise where the leader is doing well. But we should also look at how things are moving. What are some of these unsolved, issues? Issues of, Namdia. What is it saying? Push your security apparatus to move very fast. That is one thing. Because we cannot talk about a developed Namibia, an advanced Namibia, a peaceful Namibia where you have young children who are dying, where you have a state institution losing time or just like that, like people are playing, like it was a movie scene. And people are just quiet and we forgot about those things. And you have a state where we are grey listed. Look at issues of energy, electricity price. Look at issues of oil. Because the first 100 days should have defined. Because life is not only about political communication. It's also about the practical implementation of those communication. Because if you are not pointing questions into all those things, we'll find ourselves in 2030 already, and some of these issues which could have been addressed 10 years ago are still standing on the table. So, dear listeners, let's go to a commercial break. Then from there, we are going to look at what our guest has for us. And you also have the right to communicate with us or to call us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. How are we doing in the first 6 months? And how are we doing in the new administration? I know it started 21st March. But how are we doing? What are some of the things which need to be fixed? Because we are all in this same boat. If it sink, it's all of us who are going to suffer. That's why it's always not good to criticize without an alternative, because that is very dangerous. So let's go to a commercial break. Then from there, we can continue.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite okoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi tayo.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Shombe.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Before, while we are waiting for your guest,
yeah,
we can talk about issues.
Yes, yes, please.
So good. So how are you? Thank you very much for being there, man.
No, I'm here.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's my first time to hear you on the morning scope.
Oh, okay, okay.
I hope it's going to be more meaningful and interactive.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, assessing ourselves with and others and things like that.
Yeah.
But let's begin with ourselves.
Yeah.
If we begin with ourselves, then we are able to see whether ourselves are in line, in accordance with others, people's wishes and aspirations and things like that. And it's very important that you stage fine. For the 6 months that on this year now.
Yeah.
And what have you done? How far have you come?
Yeah.
What's the game plan?
Yeah.
So maybe the game plan, we can draw our lessons in the areas of improvement or areas of to capitalize on.
Yeah, yeah.
So those manifestation.
Yeah.
For those statements documented, like from this. I've read most of this, manifesto.
Okay, yes.
And no concern with the one that has to deal now with, even though everyone actually talks about how to alleviate the issue of unemployment, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
To grow the economy, and also in food security. Because the moment we address this issue of unemployment, perhaps through skilled empowering, these functional skills now I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that one you get from UNAM or university or whatever those institutions.
Yeah.
So, but I'm now saying that the functional skills that people use to solve immediate needs, problems, and things like that, without getting into strategic ones. So now when you look at these things, you can see that the game plan, the map road, the road map, it seemed to be crafted in a way that everybody is actually a part of the whole thing. Because you mentioned that if you are not part in the ship thing there,
yeah,
so everyone will do what?
Everyone will drown.
Will drown.
Mm.
So for us to prevent that disaster now,
mm,
we need to put some, you know, issues, some mechanism in place.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is what you are doing, mobilizing, giving the information, disseminating information to the people,
yeah,
in areas, you know, where we can also have some, you know, great opportunity, you know,
yeah, yeah,
in terms of employment. You see, climate change,
yeah,
is a major thing. You talk about food security. Maybe this year we thank God for the plenteous harvest.
Yeah.
So, but still it's not enough because the other people may not have produced, like you, ourselves and the other person there.
Mm-hmm.
There is still those social needs and economic needs that need to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you do it? Mobilize resources.
Yeah.
There is few of us.
Yeah.
You know, we are few in number and we have a vast country.
Yeah.
And we may not have that technical expertise and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have, we can still utilize and maximize this, our effort and little energy of the resources that we have.
Mm.
So the issue is that we sometimes neglect those kind of areas, especially resource mobilization.
Yeah. No, I want to ask you a question. I want you to give an advice to the current administration. Yes, we have seen what they have done. We have seen we've seen progress. I want you to give an advice to say this area, you guys are neglecting it, or this area you should have done this way. Just say what a professional advice, because you know the captain of the ship also need advice because we know where we want to be taken to, and we know also the time which is not on our side, especially the young people and also those who are ready to participate in economic development.
Yeah, so, I may not be the best one to give this kind of advice, but I'll try my best, you know. So, at my level and my opinion on this side is that, yes,
yeah,
of course, we need to promote the vision, the leadership vision.
Yeah.
That is there.
Mm.
We see it there.
Mm.
We need to be part of it. What we can do, perhaps, is that more fact-finding missions, and focus more on the, let's say, urban-rural decentralization, migration or decentralization kind of, you know, focus there. Because many a times,
yeah,
in these our areas,
mm-hmm,
especially when it comes to collateral security and all these other issues,
mm-hmm,
we have found out that many people who may want to get to become entrepreneurs, who may want to get into business,
mm-hmm,
they are also hindered by some of these bylaws and some of these statutory provisions and things like that. If you can give some collateral security in the urban area, why not in the rural area, periphery area, where the peoples are, and where you have the asset, the land is there for cultivation.
People at the periphery.
Yes.
Now you know I like the fact that you speak about urban area. I just checked these days. You know, do you know that the population of Windhoek now is half a million?
Imagine.
No, we are half a million. And we are growing at 3%, more than 3% every year.
That means they are growing, outnumbering the service that the cities and all these things.
Those are the development terms that need to be used. Say that again. Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We are looking at critical assessment of the first 6 months. Hello?
Sorry, I don't know what happened. So, but to finish answering your question, attempt answering your question is that you mentioned about urban migration.
Yeah.
Because if that is the number, and we know already that the city of Windhoek and all this thing cannot provide the service.
Yeah.
these things. What they should do now is to take the opportunity where people are or where people come from. The moment they take opportunity there, because sometimes we neglect this area. So of course we are saying the opportunities are there, there, there. Are we facilitating and making some kind of conviction within the people in the village there and all those ones that yes, they can take the mandu. So they can take the bull on their horn. What is it? The horns and what? And then take the people there. We mentioned about the Korata security. Then there are also some kind of, I don't know whether it's amendment or working around to those kind of legislation to make sure that the people have got Korata security. When people retire, for example, I'm just saying this because it is happening in many societies.
Yeah.
When people retire and all these things, if they are well organized and the things are well structured.
Yeah.
So you can still provide loans to those people using those resources that are in the hand of the people that may want to utilize and things like that. But if there are no platform and things like that, people to be made aware and to convict them and to convince them and say, yes, for you to put this and this and that in that area, so you are also backed or incentive, maybe giving some kind of subsidy from the state. You know, like you said, the state has got a responsibility or obligation.
Yeah.
The students and all development, whether it's social and things like that.
Yeah.
But more especially because if you are saying crime and unemployment and things like that.
Yeah.
Even though, because you know, you can link this social component. So that if you want to now reduce and fight these things successfully, what do? Is to remove people where they are crowded, take them with the opportunity where they can really engage in kind of economic activity.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the region here, now the rain has stopped. You are saying now you also go in the retirement.
Yeah.
So now we should be able to use this climate change smart agricultural strategy.
Yeah.
And then people start cultivating and complying and do all these things. And all these shop lights and others who are in the area there, woman broke. Now you now give them some kind of mandatory. It's not that you are restricting them because they have got their rights.
Yeah.
But we make sure that they save the people and they buy those tomatoes and all these things that are rotting.
Indeed.
The other guys, in conclusion, those artisans.
Yeah.
The artisan, you know what they should do?
Yeah.
The artisan are the one who can able to, even if you give them proper skills and knowledge,
yeah.
They are able to produce even solar panels. Those who cannot, they should be able to put solar panels in the villages and say, this, you cluster those village, man. It is so difficult to cluster them and say, yes, these houses here, they must be put some kind of solar panels and all these things. And they start selling their fish from various buying everywhere. And then you now subsidize the government. You can use this public-private partnership kind of scenario.
So we just need to work.
Yeah, thank you very much. Let me hear from others.
Yes, thank you for your input. Yes. That is our uncle, and he's always contributing to development issues. And he indicated that let us use local capacity, especially our artisans in a development agenda, and also take people where they are involved in economic activities. Because if you are standing now, the population of Windhoek is 500,000, and it's growing beyond, 3% every year, and looking at the service, looking at the housing, looking at infrastructure, you'll be able to understand that the city is trying, but it's not able to accommodate all these people, and there's a lot of things which need to be done, and why are the people moving in this area? But something that we need to praise also the decentralization of some services, particularly national universities and also some offices. We have seen opening of offices, for example, like we were speaking yesterday of ACC in Rundu. We have seen expansion of universities. We look at Nana and also Southern Path. But why are people still moving to the city? People still move to the city because they believe that opportunities are vast, and they also believe that they can also survive in this regard. So I got into the conversation with Lifa Nombanda. Lifa is an economist, and with him, he went to analyze the first 100 days of Mimene Tumbo. What are some of priority areas, challenges, opportunities? And from there, after the conversation with Lifa, we are going to check at BON, what is Bank of Namibia saying? And yeah, so stay tuned.
Yes, we are moving forward. We are looking at Namibia beyond 100 days of Mimene Tumbo's administration. And we are looking at opportunities, challenges, obstacles, and we are also doing a critical assessment of Namibia's political landscape, its economic landscape, where it's going, and where we are lacking. So that is a conversation that we are building into. And I'm joined by Lifa, who is going to engage us on this. Lifa, good morning, and how are you doing?
Good morning, and thank you very much for the invite. I'm doing very well.
Yes, Lifa, let us look at Namibia political and economic landscape. We are looking at 100 days of the new administration. That is a lens of analysis which have been used by different analysts and thinkers to say what have been done, what are some of the things which were done right, and what are some of the things which need some improvement, especially in this new administration of ours. So by looking at 100 days in the office, how much can you give our new administration out of 10? Then why?
I think it's quite impressive. She's done exceptionally well, our president.
Yeah.
She's been exceptionally pragmatic. I think cutting the cabinet was one quite impressive thing that she did. I think it was also a much needed decision that had to be done.
Yeah.
This was necessary because, you know, she obviously it was to cut the expenditure of the government.
Yeah.
So we should commend her for doing that. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I think also the integration of different ministries as well. Mm-hmm. I think that was a necessary decision that really was quite, I personally think it was overdue. And the benefit of that is that, you know, it also cuts down, bureaucratic red tape. Mm-hmm. It also makes government more efficient and seamless. Mm-hmm. So I think the positive sides are that she's really been quite pragmatic, our president, and we should commend her for that.
Yeah, and you know what, people, when they are looking at this dramatic change, particularly in terms of integration of ministries, one would want to ask to say, was our president not happy with the way the previous president was leading? Because when you look at the way she's structuring institutions, the way she's merging, it's like she was really watching, but she was not saying anything. What do you say about that, particularly when she was a minister?
Well, I want to believe that before somebody becomes president, and someone who, like in her case, who has prior experience in government, one would then obviously be watching from an observatory point of view, mm-hmm. and assessing and seeing exactly where the shortcomings are.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that it comes from a point of dissatisfaction, mm. but it comes from a point of observing and seeing where the shortcomings are coming from, and how best we can then integrate the certain ministries to make government more efficient and for government to be more responsive mm-hmm. on the ground. Mm-hmm.
Yes, let us look at the key appointments. There are some critical key appointments that she has made, and we are also seeing the old guards being, not really to say being chased out, but looking at appointing technocrats and most of the veteran politicians, they never stood a chance of coming back. What do you say about that?
That's a brilliant economic move that she's made. Mm. It's imperative that we put technocrats in critical decision-making positions. Yeah. That's number one. Secondly, you need a competent individual.
Mm.
This goes now to the concept of meritocracy, which the president is now applying by ensuring that you get the appropriate individuals to run key certain ministries.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it shows an element of pragmatism, practicality, and the need for meritocracy to hire individuals who understand how firstly government works, but also have a much more broader understanding on social and economic development projects.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of the appointment, you said she made the right choice. She looked at technocrat. And what is, I don't want us to go to challenges. We know challenges are a lot. But what other things that Menetumbo have done that is tangible, that can be seen, apart from radical change in terms of institutions, in terms of key appointments, and in terms of, priorities?
Well, I would like to see more pragmatism in certain ministries.
Mm.
I think Ministry of Industrial and Trade, I would like to see a bit more change there.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of potential.
Mm.
Even the Minister of Trade, with the whole Commonwealth Business Summit.
Mm.
So I think that was an opportunity now for there to be serious change in the Ministry of Industrial.
Mm-hmm.
I think in terms of the Ministry of Finance, it's also been a very good move that she's elected an honorable, Erika, Shafuda.
Mm-hmm.
That is very critical. I think she will also play a very major role. I think overall, so far we are seeing pragmatic moves. We are seeing changes which are visible and I think which should be commended.
Mm-hmm. Now, let us look at her views in terms of energy and, in terms of energy, particularly, we can talk about electricity. We can also talk about green energy. And we can also talk about oil.
Okay. I think the State of the Nation address, Her Excellency alluded to the fact that Namibia intends to go nuclear power.
Yeah.
The nuclear power option has also been brought about, which I think is, from a long-term perspective, I think it's very, very important.
Okay.
However, I think it's also important that we focus on the short and medium term issues, such as solar and hydrogen.
Yeah.
I think these are projects that can be actualized in a much shorter period of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to understand that nuclear energy does not just happen in a very short period of time. It takes quite a lot of time because there has to be the feasibility studies. There has to be the setting up of a nuclear power plant. You
know? Mm-hmm.
So although it's an ambitious project in terms of energy to have nuclear, I think priority must also be emphasized on solar and hydrogen,
mm-hmm.
because these can be actualized within this period of within 2 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good and ambitious plan, but it does not address the current shortage and needs of people at the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And solar and hydrogen are those two projects which can actually be actualized within a reasonable time frame.
Mm-hmm. Now, let us look at key challenges. There is an aspect of youth unemployment. When Namibia Statistic Agency released the statistic, it is indicated that Namibia has the highest unemployment rate in SADC region. What do you think are some of the things that our president and the new administration are currently doing right, particularly in addressing key issues like youth unemployment? Is free education a solution?
Sorry to interject there. What I wanted to say was we have subsidized tertiary education.
Yeah.
We have given people the opportunity to go post-secondary education.
Yeah.
The president must be commended for that.
Yeah.
However, it becomes imperative as well that whatever courses that the youth are taking, are costs that enable economic growth and the reduction of unemployment. Mm-hmm. This becomes very critical because we need trade skills.
Yeah.
We need STEM skills.
Mm-hmm.
And the government has basically given an olive branch to the Namibian youth to say that they can get an education which is subsidized.
Mm-hmm.
But also it becomes critical that we build an economy that can accommodate graduates.
Mm-hmm.
It does not help us at all if we subsidize education, but we're not building a conducive environment or supporting employment.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you think there is a more than just free education, especially when we want to address youth unemployment, because a lot of people are asking, why are you oversupplying the market if you are not absorbing us? What do you say about that?
Yes, yes. It goes back to the point that I was saying, that then the government has to make conducive measures
mm-hmm.
to accommodate these young graduates.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to believe that the government is actually working towards establishing ways and means to grow the economy, to absorb the incoming graduates who are going to play a very major role in the overall development of the economy and the country.
Mm-hmm.
But we do not want to have a scenario where we have unemployed graduates who are economically not active.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the issue that we have one of us unemployment.
Yeah.
You know, we can go back as far as saying that we are addressing a legacy issue here.
Yeah.
But we also need to understand that we are living in an era where traditional jobs are actually being phased out.
Mm-hmm.
And the government also has to understand that traditional jobs are being phased out. And how do we then gear ourselves to be in a position to still absorb graduates who are still employable, but also play a very active part in the global village
mm-hmm.
and in SADC as well.
Yes. Now, before we go to Menetumbo's economic policy and also foreign policy standing, let us look at the challenges. I want to come in there. I want to start with what was politically promised, particularly to our pensioners who thought, when Zumbo get to power, they are going to get their increment in terms of pension. It did not happen. Then some other key and criticized appointment that the public have mentioned. Number one is the Minister of Health, a very critical ministry, and you gave it to a very young and sharp politician, however not deputy, and a lot of criticism about what's happening in that case. First, let's start with what was promised, and let's go to some of the challenges or some of the things that need to be done well.
Okay. I foresaw the whole issue of the pension increment. I think it was basically for pensioners to be able to qualify for home mortgages to build their own homes.
No. I want to touch on, there were, you know, when Memenetubo was campaigned, Swapo promised to give increment in terms of pension money or the social grant, but it did not happen.
Yes.
That is what we want to look at.
Well, it, like we said, that it becomes a wait-and-see kind of situation.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit too early to write it off and to assume that it was just electioneering.
Yeah.
I think with time we will then gradually see how this can be actualized.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that some of the policies that are being taken now from the Ministry of Finance are to cater for that increment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once we see the policy framework of the ministry and how they are going to strategize going forward,
mm-hmm.
and also given the state of the country's national fiscal, mm-hmm. and then it becomes practical for us to then increase the social grant. So mm-hmm. it's a bit too early now to write it off and to take it as just basic electioneering.
Yes. Let us look at what was not done right. If you have to criticize and advise our president, to say, here is where you have to work, right? Because it cannot be correct that everything that she's done is right. That's why we are here, to look at those holes so that they can be filled, so that at least we can have a better country. And I think it's one of the best president if the pace is going to be like this. What are some of the things that you think, no, here I think we need to work it right, here you need to accelerate, or here you need to relook at your decision?
Okay, I would like to call it constructive criticism.
Yes.
I wouldn't want to write it off as a negative.
Mm-hmm.
I am of the opinion that we need to really start working on our SOEs.
Mm-hmm.
Our state-owned enterprises are vital for the growth of an economy.
Yeah.
I think Transnamib is one particular SOE that is actually has so much potential to actualize if they're given the proper infrastructure, the proper capital. It will really play a pivotal role in terms of economic development. We are also looking at the current feasibility study of Air Namibia. That also becomes critical. I am of the opinion that a cargo airline is much more viable than a passenger airline. Of course, it would. Who can expound on this?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I go this route is because we are looking at also issues that have to do with world events that can be beyond our control.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But with a cargo national airline, one is still able to remain viable. I think NamPower as well
needs
to also play a critical role and get involved in solar projects as well. This is all quite a critical role that they need to play, and work with local and private businesses in the solar space. So it becomes critical that we really work on reviving our SOEs. These are the backbone of economic development. Secondly, I think in terms of the local economy, it has also become quite critical as well that we look at the state of employment.
Mm-hmm.
And the unemployment as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of youths who are underemployed, youths who are graduated but are not doing the jobs that they've basically trained for.
Mm-hmm.
So it then becomes critical that we identify exactly how do we then actualize the potential of graduates in playing a far more a participatory role in economic development.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yesterday, I had a conversation with the spokesperson of Anti-Corruption Commission, and one of the things that our current president has mentioned is that she indicated corruption will be treated as treason, or it's not going to be tolerated anymore. But when you look at the allocation that the institutions such as ACC is getting, Rifa, you are an economist. 116 million is not even a quarter of what NAMRA is collecting, within the quarter of the year. But
that's true, yeah.
116 million, even the spokesperson indicated, and she was so diplomatic, I understand that. But what do you say about that? Was it deliberate to have institution like that as a least funded?
Yes.
Or something needs to be done?
Well, corruption has always been, a lot of foreign direct investors and businesses have likened African corruption to a cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And how it really has such a huge deterrent on economic development.
Yeah.
I want to see the ACC play a far more pragmatic role in dealing with issues of corruption.
Yeah.
I think it's also critical that certain sectors in our economy and certain ministries, a spotlight is put on them to really see and make sense of exactly where the leakages are coming from and how we can combat corruption.
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge, huge deterrent. And these are one of the things that a lot of foreign investors look at.
Mm-hmm.
They look at the state of the corruption. Mm-hmm. They look at state of national sisters.
Mm-hmm.
They also take a spotlight on the national institutions that are supposed to combat corruption. And if the ACC is not being pragmatic enough, owing any teeth in other words, it's more like a toothless bulldog. Yeah. Becomes a huge deterrence in how foreign investors look into investing in the country. So the ACC is very critical, and it has to play a far more pragmatic role than what it is doing now.
Yes, Lifa, let us look at our economic game plan, and before we go to foreign policy direction. Now, in terms of the economy, a lot of things have happened. We remain the highest economic unequal country, second to South Africa in the world, and we are still grey-listed by FA Financial Action Task Force, and on top of that, we are also put at the high-risk jurisdiction by European Union Commission. In terms of our current administration, do you think we have an economic game plan, especially when it's coming to strengthening of the financial system?
Well, you've highlighted a very, very important point there.
Yeah.
We are the second highest unequal country in the world after South Africa.
Yeah.
And this is, obviously, these are legacies of colonialism, of apartheid.
Yeah.
And Namibia has been independent now since 1990. It becomes very important that we address these inequalities.
Mm-hmm.
It also becomes important that we involve more people in the economic participation and growth of the country.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very critical point that the president has to look at. How do we lower the gap? And how do we get more people involved in economic growth, such that we increase the quality and standard of living of our citizens?
Mm-hmm.
So it is a very, very difficult but also doable situation.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's going to require a lot of pragmatic approach. It's going to require serious, active participation of all citizens to ensure that there is that growth. It's an interesting one because we are actually viewed as a, you know, middle higher income country,
by the way. Yeah.
So there's the other side of the coin as well when you look at it.
Yeah.
But then what is really happening on the ground
is
what really matters at the end of the day. And I think the government is very much aware of the current situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to believe that they are working towards certain economic goals and policies to lower that gap. Which can be lowered if proper pragmatic steps are taken and the right policy framework is taken.
Yeah,
I think just to add, I think, you know, with these new projects that are coming up with the oil exploration and all, I think that will actually play a very pivotal role in the long term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you look at our economic game plan, do you think we are financially focused? Do you think we can still do it, particularly removing the country from being grey-listed? I'm talking about this because I was hopeful that this recommendation by Financial Action Task Force are going to be addressed. But what shocked me is that, like what happened last week where Bank of Namibia lost a case against one general who...
Yes.
And you are asking yourself, are we still having stronger institutions, and are we still going to be removed from these rankings in the world? And what is the long term impact if you are not, removed from this?
Well, Namibia is viewed globally as a country that is politically stable.
Yeah.
We are viewed as a country that has workable institutions.
Yeah.
And of course, you then get these kinds of cases, like the one for the Bank of Namibia, where they lost that case.
Yeah.
And that also can at times bring a bit of criticism as to whether we do have the mechanism to really play a far more active role and also improve in our financial standing. You mentioned the issue of the grey listing.
Yeah.
That is also quite it's a worrisome issue. And it should be taken very serious because these are the things that investors are looking at. These are the things that investors worry about. If I invest my money in Namibia, what is the return on investment on my investment? Can I be assured that my investment will yield the result that I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where now you get institutions like ACC now, which have to show a much more pragmatic approach
mm-hmm.
to give that confidence to investors. That
I was talking to them. They said that they do not have enough capacity and they do not have money to investigate, and they don't have power apparently to push the prosecutor. Sometimes things are investigated, but it's up to the prosecutor to decide whether they should go to court. I think the what to go to the yeah. the act and expand is one of the things also, but you can continue.
Well, they do have the powers to investigate.
Yeah.
In terms of capacity now, one yeah. they now has to expound and really dissect in what capacity do they mean they are inefficient to go against cases. One can come with a general point of view that probably is in reference to funds.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also looking at the technical expertise of the officials. We are looking as well at the financial capabilities as well, capacity as they put it.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things that also become priority and become important. And these are the things that the ACC should actively push if they want to be seen as a more pragmatic and efficient organization.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a bit of a challenge when statements of incapability or capacity are put out there.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, lowers the confidence yeah. of investors.
Yeah.
So it is really imperative that the ACC does play a very critical role and becomes more pragmatic and is not seen, like I said, as a toothless bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
But it is an organization that has teeth and can really make an impact.
Yes, lastly, let us look at our foreign policy objectives. Memene Tumbo is an experienced diplomat. She has been around the world. And Namibia has been known to produce best diplomats, particularly president who connect with international relations. Look at the likes of the late Genkop and many other diplomats that we have seen. Now, looking at her standing in terms of foreign relations, do you think Namibia is going to be more connected, or how do you I don't want you to compare her with the late Genkop, but how do you view her now? She's a president, and yes, she's a chief diplomat, but now she's a president. How do you think is the perspective of our president regarding Namibia and international affairs?
Well, I think our president is at a much better position.
Yeah.
Remember, she held the international relations portfolio.
Yeah.
So she's well aware of geopolitics.
Yeah.
She's much more in tune with the realities
mm-hmm.
of foreign policy and diplomacy.
Yeah.
I think we will see a far more pragmatic foreign policy under her administration.
Mm-hmm.
I am quite confident that she'll be more pragmatic, and we will see a Namibia that is far more marketable,
mm-hmm.
A Namibia that is really open for business.
Mm-hmm.
During the last U.S.-Africa summit in Angola,
yeah.
Our president mentioned the importance of value addition to our product.
Mm-hmm.
So she has spoken out boldly about that because she understands
mm-hmm.
The importance, the linkages and the synergies between value addition and foreign policy, and how that plays a critical role, not just in the development of Namibia, but in fostering very strong bilateral and economic ties with the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be interesting as well to see how our administration will handle as well the foreign affairs policy, especially with the United States,
yeah.
and given the U.S. tariff wars.
Mm-hmm.
That is also going to be quite an interesting observation.
Mm-hmm.
However, from the current trajectory,
mm-hmm.
I think that our relation is going to be far more cordial than the one that South Africa has having.
Mm-hmm.
I think ours is far more pragmatic. So it's going to be an interesting one to see how the administration is going to handle that going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Rifa, maybe lastly, how can an ordinary Namibia support the current administration? What can I contribute so that Namibia national goals can be realized, because it's not only about analyzing, it's also about the role which I have to play as an ordinary Namibian to this, bigger plans that the country has.
Well, I think in conclusion, we all must play a more participatory role.
Yeah.
I think our president has shown pragmatism.
Yeah.
As you said, there have been criticisms in terms of certain appointments. You mentioned the issue of the health.
Yeah.
The Minister of Health.
Yeah.
We also had the issue of the former Minister Engari as well.
Yeah.
But I think it's important that as Namibians we play a more participatory role.
Yeah.
It also becomes important that we engage the government more regularly. Mm-hmm. We see and find ways of making government more efficient and workable, mm-hmm. for the interests of the citizens, for our interests. So I think it's very important that we play a far more participatory role. I think the president has really given an olive branch. She's a listening president. She is making a lot of interesting changes that I believe will actually actualize in the next 12 to 24 months. We will actually see the benefit of it.
Yes, Lifa Nombada, thank you for your time. Thank you very much for your input.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, cool.
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop, with me, David Shombe. That was, Lifa Nombada. He's an economist. And, we are trying to analyze, what have been happening in the current administration. What are some of the, holes that need to be fixed? And, what can I contribute as an ordinary Namibian? Because it's not only about the question of, what did you say you were going to do to me? It's also a question of what did I do, or what are some of the choices which I have made to make sure that I come closer to the intended goal, and also meet the state halfway where they can assist us. And meeting the state halfway doesn't mean that, it's half-half, because state mustn't go beyond half, if you understand what I mean, because it has resources, it has a power, it has, ability to do things differently. So, yeah. That was Lifa. However, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401. Yes, we have around 3 minutes before we come to the end of our program. However, as I have said, it's always good to look at Bank of Namibia quarterly bulletin, and which is simplifying the state of Namibian economy in the quarter of a year. And we are going to listen to Ms. Sandra Garises, the principal communication team leader at Bank of Namibia.
The Bank of Namibia released the June 2025 quarterly bulletin today. On the domestic economic developments front, during the first quarter of 2025, activity in the domestic economy expanded at a slower rate, with positive momentum maintained across most sectors. Year-on-year real GDP growth moderated to 2.7% during the first quarter of 2025 from 4.7% registered in the corresponding quarter of 2024. This marked the 16th consecutive year of positive year-on-year growth in real GDP. The primary industry contracted despite the steady rise in activity observed in the mining sector, as reflected by stronger uranium, zinc, concentrate and gold output, partly countered by a decline in diamond production. Activity in the agricultural sector weakened, reflecting lower livestock marketing due to the reduced number of market-ready animals. Crop output fell, with additional harvesting expected in the second quarter. In the secondary industry, monitored indicators showed mixed performances, whereas construction activity displayed a modest uptick. Manufacturing output edged lower as cement and blister copper production showed considerable declines sparked by demand challenges and operational dynamics. Output for beer and soft drinks, however, increased over the same period. Electricity and water output inched slightly higher. The tertiary industry remained the key driver of growth during the quarter under review, with ongoing expansion in sectors such as health, finance, wholesale and retail trade, as well as tourism, transport and communication. On the expenditure side, growth was bolstered by strong performances in exports, government consumption and gross fixed capital formation. The Bank of Namibia released the June 2025 quarterly bulletin today. On the
Bank of Namibia, especially looking at growth in GDP, which is indicated that the GDP grew by 2.7% in the first quarter of 2025, which is a good move beyond it's a good move compared to what is happening in the world, compared to what's happening around the world, compared to tariff imposition, compared to war, which is affecting, you know, logistical issues. And I think one of the questions that we need to ask ourselves is that no matter the difficulties of, situations, so it's very important to make sure that, we address that issue of economic inequality, because no matter the situation, Namibia continue to grow economically at a very slow pace. However, the human development aspect is not yet touched, which can only be touched by equal resource, distribution. Yes, from me, David Shombe, thank you very much for listening to Early Morning Scoop, and I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Michael Choveri. So stay tuned.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral.